Alrighty, how's everybody doing this week? You're awake, alive, feeling good, still saved? That's good. It's fortunate, by the Lord's mercies we are, not by us keeping it because we're so good. And so God's been good to us, and we are glad you're here, and looking forward to it. We're taking a break from our family on the Rock series, and we're doing some mission stuff today. And so we're excited about that and be able to do that and reaching the world. And another part of the world is we have the, Brother John Atkinson with us. They're going to Turkey, and so they'll be missionaries there, and so they're with us today. And so we're excited to be able to hear about that, and just not just that, later in the service he'll show us a video, and then in the main service. But I just asked him to speak about a heart for the harvest in the world. And And, of course, we emphasize that a lot here, and we want to get that and keep that and have that passion for lift up your eyes and see the harvest and see the need and see the great opportunity. We have so many opportunities today that we've never had, and so many things we can do today. It's an exciting time to be alive and serving God. It's an exciting time to be a Christian in America, because you can do missions things you couldn't do before. And might talk a little about that tonight. And so we're excited to hear about that, hear what God is doing, and hear about Brother Atkinson. We haven't talked much, just a little bit, a couple times. And so come on up here. We'll get you ready there. And we got this cordless here. You can walk around with it if you want to take it out and and talk. You grew up in a Christian home?
Yes, semi-Christian.
Semi-Christian. All right. And you are. How long ago did you surrender to be a missionary?
Well, I got saved in 1998, and then.
He's fine. Relax, you're fine.
I got saved in 1998, and then basically about a month later, I surrendered to full-time service. And then it was about 6 or 7 months after that that I surrendered to missions as specifically.
So you're a missions major?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, good. Well, go ahead. You're good. Go ahead and get up there and give us what you have.
Well, first I want to say thank you. Thank you for having us, Pastor. I know that really, you know, it's got to be the Lord, because some guy calls you on the phone. You've never seen him before, but then he asks you if he can come and speak in your pulpit where God's, you know, given you, you know, a place where you can teach and train people and preach the gospel, and you say yes. You know, that's of the Lord. And, you know, of course, he vetted me, got information, asked questions, and of course, that's wisdom. But I definitely appreciate everything. The hotel room was great. I just enjoyed the hotel. I appreciate that. Beautiful. We don't always get a really nice place to stay. You think missionaries, we travel around, we stay in plush places all the time, right? And no, but we don't. So, but it was very nice, and we're always appreciative of anything that God blesses us with, and we definitely appreciate you, what you've done for us, and having us in. My name is John Atkinson, my wife Elizabeth, and of course we'll be during the service, we'll show a video, and I'll say a little bit more about Turkey and where it is and what we're planning on doing. But if you would go ahead and turn in your Bibles, we'll use this as just a, I'm going to read several scriptures, Matthew chapter 9 verse 35 through 38. And Pastor did ask me to speak about a heart for the harvest, and obviously, you know, when we read the harvest, we'll read a few scriptures here. We're talking about souls for Christ when we say harvest. And obviously, harvest can speak of, you know, physical food that we plant and grow. And those are principles that God lays down, and we can see them in the world around us. And the planting and sowing and watering, the same applies to spiritual harvest of men's souls and hearts for Christ. Let's go ahead and pray quickly, and we'll get right into this. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to teach and to preach, Father, the Word of God. I pray that your Spirit will come down upon me now, upon this place. May you stir our hearts, and God, help us to be focused on the eternal, not the temporal. It's so easy to get our mind and hearts off of Christ, off of the harvest, off of where your heart is, and get them on our own things and personal matters and the world around us. Help us to refocus today, and may our hearts be stirred for you and for your work. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35-38. You just read along silently. I'll read aloud. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And Christ quoted these words, probably said them many times, and we find them three times in three of the Gospels where Christ talks about in Luke chapter 10, verse 1 through 2, and also in John chapter 4, verse 34 through 38. I'll read those quickly, and you don't have to turn there. Luke chapter 10, 1 through 2 says, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." John chapter 4, 34 through 38. "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Herein is that saying true, One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." This is missions. This is exactly what we're doing. We go to places, and the Bible, if you go into the Word of God, we're in Turkey, where we are going, is where really the gospel seed really took off with Paul's journeys and the churches and revelations. So there were labors in this area of the world and throughout the world, many places. There were labors before we got there as missionaries, before we get there in America. We're building upon other people's foundations. Many times the gospel is here already. And this is part of what Jesus, this is the amazing thing that Jesus talks about. You're not always going to get to reap, but we can plant. All of us should be planting. All of us should be have a heart for being in the harvest, for sowing and planting. And then God gives the harvest. That's what the Bible says. God gives the increase. I want us to look here and think about ourselves here. A heart for the harvest, a heart for the harvest. I think if we're honest with ourselves as Christians, we can see that many times as we go along in our Christian walk, our hearts get kind of cold on the Lord at times. Many times, especially in America, where we have so many pleasures of this world that are so easily attained, and we're a rich nation, at least at this time, we're a very rich nation compared to most of the world. And that is turning around, that's going the other direction, and that, I believe, is directly because of the judgment of God and his hand on this nation. I don't believe it's going to be that way forever. I believe we're going quickly the wrong direction, and God is judging this nation. Do you remember when you first got saved? If you're here today, you remember when you first got saved, and you're saved, you're born again. Maybe you're not saved here today. I hope you get that settled before the end of the day if you're not saved. Well, it was an amazing day back in 1998 when I accepted Christ as my Savior. And everything changed from the, I remember it like it was yesterday. It's one of those things you just don't forget if you're saved. I remember the joy. Do you remember the joy, the energy, the peace, the grace, that forgiveness that you felt, that love that came inside of your heart, that you just, it was unexplainable. It had just like overwhelmed you that day, and it was a pretty awesome experience. Do you remember that? Do you remember the moment when you realized, when the realization came to you that there are others around you that needed what you had? Your friends, maybe your family members, maybe you were a young child when you got saved, maybe you're 4 or 5, I don't know. But the realization came that you have friends, you have family, there are others around you in the world that need to experience what you just experienced. Maybe you realized it right away, maybe it took a little bit of time, and it kind of dawned on you after a few weeks or months that, wait a minute, there's other people out there, just like I was, before I accepted Christ that need the gospel. Do you remember that? Do you remember the desire that was in your heart to share the good news, to share what you had gotten from the Lord, what you had gotten from God, that salvation, that free gift, that now you know you're going to heaven, and that joy in your heart and that peace and that what you have from God, that you don't have to go to hell anymore. You're saved. You escaped the judgment. Not only that, you have a friend that's going to stick with you throughout eternity. Do you remember that? Do you remember the first person you shared your new faith with? Hopefully there is one. Do you remember that? You didn't know much about it. You hadn't maybe even been in church long. Maybe you hadn't been in church at all, but something happened to you, and you thought of somebody, and you said, I got to go tell them. And as best as you knew how, you didn't know how all the terminology. You said, hey, man, I got Jesus today. Something, my life changed, and there was that newness of it, and you just had to get it out. You had to get it out to somebody else. That burning inside to get this news to others. Do you remember that? Can I pose a few hard-hitting questions that I've had to ask myself at times, and that maybe you might need to ask yourself today? Where did that zeal and desire to tell others about Jesus go? What happened to it? Is it still there? I think if we're honest with ourselves, that we've been saved for a length of time, that we go through times where that zeal disappears, where it kind of sinks down deeper and kind of gets shoved back to the back. And how did that shallowness creep into my relationship with Christ? Remember the relationship when you got saved, how fresh it was, how crisp it was, how like you just wanted to hug Christ. It was like he was there with you. He was every moment. It was just your mind was consumed with this new relationship that you just had formed. What happened? What happened to it? Where did it go? A heart for the harvest. Where did that desire to tell others about Christ, that overwhelming urge that when you saw somebody, something in your heart said they might need the gospel, where did that go? What happened to it? And what can I do to get back to where I was? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Do you need to look in today and ask yourself that question? What can I do to get back there? I've inspected my heart at times. I've had to ask these questions to myself before. I believe the answer is simple. When this happens in our life, we have lost a heart for God. We've lost a heart for God. Therefore, we care little about the heart of God. And subsequently, our heart for those who do not know God grows ever so cold and faintly beats within our spiritual chest as the harvest is neglected and souls right outside our door and across the world are neglected, and the harvest slips into hell and into eternity without Christ. Why? What happened? What can we do? What can we do to get back to that place where our heart is burning for Christ again? Because I believe that is the answer for the harvest. I believe that is the answer. If we're going to get the gospel to the world, you and I as Christians must have that burning desire in our heart, not just to get it to Turkey, but to get it outside the door, outside of our house, in our workplace, at our school, wherever we are, our neighborhoods. We've got to have that burning desire to get the gospel to everyone around us. Otherwise, we will not care about the harvest. And we do not care about the harvest. So number one, we must discover first our heart for God again. We must rediscover our heart for God. We got to realize that we've allowed something to steal that heart from us. There's something that has gotten into our lives between us and God that has stolen that heart from us. And the devil's subtle. The flesh is subtle. To get that heart back, it begins with the realization, searching our heart, searching our life. And I don't think it's real hard. The Holy Spirit many times brings it to us, sometimes on a daily basis. Hey, you need to get this out of your life. This is standing between you and me. This is standing between you and God, and we ignore it. We go along. It's not important enough yet. But we have to realize, we must begin to realize that there's something that's stolen my heart from God. And whatever I have allowed to steal my heart from God is sucking the true satisfaction out of my life. The true joy that I felt when I got saved. It's stealing that from me, that peace, that spiritual fruitfulness that you had when you got saved, that just flowed out of you. You didn't worry about what people thought. You just shared the gospel with them. You might have been scared, but you did it anyways. When we research our lives and look inwardly and introspect, we've got to realize what it is, and we need to repent of it. It's that simple. Number one, to rediscover the heart of God, our heart for God, we've got to repent of whatever is stolen it from us, from God, from us. Maybe it's entertainment. We live in an entertainment-driven society. You just look around. The biggest churches are those that are entertainment-based. We were watching one last night, just kind of, we don't get TV much, and we just turned it on and watched this. Thousands of people have a rock band on Sunday mornings, and I don't know what else they do. I mean, it's just, it's entertainment-driven. We are an entertainment-driven society, sports, TV, the desire for fun. And there's nothing wrong with a little bit of balance in our life. We need that. But when that drives us, it removes us from God, and it steals our heart from the Lord. It steals our heart and our desire to serve God. It steals our peace. We get a shallowness between us and Christ. Maybe it's toys. It's not just kids that have toys, cars, boats, the things of this world that we desire to play with, even as adults. Those can still, not wrong in and of themselves, but they can steal our heart. I remember when I first got saved, within months, I got a set of golf clubs given to me. And I began, instead of reading my Bible and listening, I began thinking about golf a lot. On the way home, I would, instead of thinking about winning somebody to Christ or reading or what I had studied, I was thinking about going to the driving range. And before you know it, within a few weeks, the Holy Spirit convicted me. My heart had drifted within weeks away from that initial point where I was with God, and that desire had already begun to wane to see people saved and to see God do something, and all I wanted to do was be out on the golf course. So easily those things get into our life, and they secretly kind of steal our heart and pull it away from God little by little, to where we turn around and all of a sudden we're not satisfied anymore. We don't have the joy. The gospel isn't getting out. The harvest doesn't really matter, and we're just about the toys and the entertainment and the fun. Maybe it's the cares of this world. This kind of hits home. The cares of this world, the struggling financially, perhaps, these things that we've got to pay the bills, we've got to do this, we've got to work the job, whatever it is, these cares kind of entangle our heart, and instead of giving those cares to Christ, we take them on ourselves, and we're constantly concerned, how can I do this? How can I get this done? And again, it's another trap. It's another trap that the devil gets us in as humans, as creatures of this world right now. We have to live in this world, and we worry, and we think, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to feed my family? Instead of giving that to the Lord, yes, working, doing what God wants us to do, working a job, but trusting the Lord, praying about it, giving it to God and saying, God, I need your help, and you're going to do this, and I'm going to leave it in your hands, and I'm going to keep that heart for you. Because the worry and cares of this world can steal our heart from God. The toys of this world, the entertainment of this world can steal our heart from God. And we must rediscover a heart for God if the harvest is going to be reaped. Matthew 13, 18 through 23 says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside, but he that receiveth the seed in stony places is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with great joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth the seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed in good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That's the harvest. The cares of this world, the things that choke those the seed out in our life and keep our heart and steal it from God. The Bible makes it clear. If we're going to get into the harvest, we can't be concerned with those things. We've got to give it to God. We can't let the world entice us and draw us away with the glitz and the glamour and the toys and the thrills and the entertainment. We can't allow that. We've got to stay true and focused. We've got to repent of it. When we see it entering our life, we have to turn away from it and say, God, that's not what I want. Yes, the flesh desires that, but I don't want that. I want you. When you do that, God will give you that heart back to you. Your heart will go back towards him, because when you turn away from those things, you're turning to God. And your heart will be redirected. You recognize the shallowness of these temporal things and repent and put the focus back on Christ. These things around us are temporal. Temporary. They're not going to last. In fact, 2 Peter 3:7, but the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It's all going to burn up, folks. Yeah, we need it now to live. We need to sustain our earthly life, but God promises to sustain us and provide for us. 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Everything's going up in flames, folks. That boat, that house, everything's going to go up in flames eventually. God says, hold on to the things of this world loosely. When we get too tight of a grip on the things of this world, we begin turning away from God and turning to those things, just like the children of Israel did over and over and over, as we read in the book of Judges. As they were focused on Christ, and then things began to come in, the idols began to separate them, and they turned away from God, and then God sent judgment. Oh, and they turned back and cried again to God, and their heart was back to God. And it happens in our own life. Three times, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So what's important here? The things on this earth, or his word and our walk and our spiritual heart towards him? What's more important? What's going to last the eternity? What's going to give us eternal rewards? What's going to please our Savior? Once we realize these things have gotten between us and our God, and we repent and turn away from it, and we turn back to Christ, we'll see several things happen in our life. Number one, we'll begin to desire God's presence in our life. Not just the knowledge that I'm going to heaven, but his presence. God, I want to know you're here by feeling your presence. I want to walk with you. I want to know you're with me throughout the day. I want you to guide me. I want you to speak to my heart. I want you to tell me and talk to me and tell me what you want me to do on a daily, step-by-step basis. We'll experience an ever-deepening desire that your life would please God. Revelations 4:11, where it says, all things were created for his pleasure, will make sense. My life was for him. God, I just want to please you. As your heart begins to warm up and move back closer to God, you'll desire to give God what he wants and not get what you want. You'll desire to know what God wants. You'll be driven into the Word of God as you begin to study and see, what is God's plan for this earth? What is God's plan for my life? God, what do you want for me? And an amazing thing will happen. You'll rediscover your heart for God. But in the process of it, you'll discover God's heart. You'll rediscover where God's heart is. Where is God's heart? Through the Word of God, you'll begin noticing that throughout the Bible, from the Genesis 3:15 all the way through Calvary, all the way through the end of the book of Revelation, there's one theme: the harvest of the world. The epic battle between Satan and the souls of men, between God, as God beckons and sends his Holy Spirit and sends out his missionaries and sends out his people to tell the world about the gospel, as the devil fights and tries to deceive, this epic battle going back and forth. And you and I, as believers, are a part of it. We're in the thick of it, or we're supposed to be.
we're supposed to be fighting it on a daily basis as you turn your heart back to God and you realize the heart of God is in the harvest. It's out there in the souls of men and women and children. That is where God's heart is. Not on the things of this world, because he's going to burn it all up one day. But it's in the souls of men and women. And as the Holy Spirit gets a hold of our life and the fruit of the Spirit begins working in us, that love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, you'll begin to treat people differently. You'll begin to view other people as souls that are important. And instead of just looking at yourself and thinking about yourself as we go out through the day, you'll see people as those who God died for, as those who God loves. And you'll begin to interact differently with people. You'll begin to think about their future. People you don't even know. You'll feel a love for them and a desire to see them know what you know about God. You'll see the darkness in their life as you walk around. You'll see them driving down the street with the music coming out. And instead of, the music will turn you off a little bit maybe. But you'll look into their eyes as they're driving by and you'll see how empty they are and see that they need Jesus. Amen. They need what I found years ago, almost 15 years ago. When you rediscover your heart for God and you rediscover God's heart for the world, something amazing will happen in your life. You will suddenly rediscover a heart for the world to know God. Your heart will be changed. That desire and fervency when you got saved now is richer. Because many times what we did early on was in zeal but without knowledge. But now the zeal is given back to you with the knowledge that you've learned over the years, and you know a little bit more about the God that saved you. And you can appreciate a little bit more about what he's done. And you can know a little deeper about his love for the world. And God will be able to use you even more now than he could have when you were younger and a newborn babe in Christ. As you rediscover a desire to go out and give out gospel tracts. And if you walk out somewhere and you go to reach for a gospel tract, you're mad at yourself because you forgot it in the car. You didn't leave it because you really wanted to give it to somebody. And at this point, you and I will look upon the harvest once again with the eyes of our Savior, the eyes of compassion that our Savior had. And we'll say in our heart with him, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You look around you, you'll drive through Istanbul as my wife and I did, and you'll be overwhelmed with the millions of people that need the gospel and how small you are. And you'll call out to God, God, help me. Help me to get the gospel to the harvest. Lord, send more laborers. Please, Lord, send more laborers. And you'll find your heart refocused on the harvest again like it was when you got saved. But maybe not right now. Maybe something's come between you and the Lord. Maybe the harvest hasn't been as important. Oh, you know people need to be saved, and it's nagging in the back of your mind, but it's not in the forefront anymore. We travel a lot. We've been over 300 churches over the past almost 3 years now. And I'm almost done here. And I watch some churches thriving. Other churches that have a lot of missionaries, but pastors tell me, the missions given has dropped. The missions given has dropped. Pray that we, because we'd love to take on more missionaries. What's happened? These were missionary-oriented, missions-driven churches with the heart of Christ at some point. What happened? Something stole that heart from those people. I'm not going to, I got to make the house payment. I got to do this. The missions, we can still tithe. But maybe we won't give as much to missions. The harvest suffers because our heart has grown cold on the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share. I pray your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, my heart today. God, use the service to come, Father. I pray that you would just move and may our hearts be tender. And God, may we get whatever it is out of the way so that we can go forward We need you, Father. The world needs you. We have the truth. They need it. We ask you in Jesus' name, amen.